Romans today for a moment in the 8th chapter in verses 14 and 17 where Paul says something great and profoundly true. I feel we need to remind ourselves of this on a continual basis. This profound truth that is found here as we begin to discuss the promise of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. Because there is a great truth and promise that Paul discusses here that we, through the Spirit, are adopted as sons and daughters of God when we live in and for Him. We are adopted as His children into His kingdom through His Spirit. And I want us to begin today reading this profound, fundamental truth of the Christian life, because it will provide us the foundation of where it is we'll be heading today to provide us a better understanding of who God is, in particular as we are endeavoring right now to the day of Pentecost, who God the Spirit, God in us, is. And we are looking to His very Word to seek such revelation. Because if we were to use any other revelation other than His Word, we surely would fail the task. Let us then read this wonderful truth in Romans 8, 14 through 17. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. This is the word of our Lord, and praise be to God for the hope and comfort and revelation it provides us in this life. With this being read, I think we need to ask a fundamental question, though, about how people can feel sometimes. I know I have felt this at sometimes in some points in my life. This question, though, is a difficult one, and I ask you to answer it honestly. Have you ever felt alone? Not just physically alone, but a deep aloneness in your inner being. Maybe it came in the form of a depression. Maybe it came from literally being alone. Maybe it just came from a struggle you were facing in your life, and it just made you feel alone, that no one else could relate, no one else could comprehend, no one else could help. I know I've been there in my life when I have faced certain challenges. I felt like no one could understand. There was no one who could help because there was no one who could relate to what I faced. In this, I became my own worst enemy and isolated myself even more, almost embracing aloneness, embracing the aloneness that made me feel alone in the first place. Have you ever felt this kind of aloneness in your life? You may be feeling this kind of deep aloneness right now, in the present situation that we're facing with the stay-at-home order, the shelter in place. And yes, we are thankful for the gift of technology so we can continue to gather like this over the internet, that we can continue to interact with each other through comments, that we can continue to call one another, to have Zoom calls, and we're very thankful for all these things. But it's definitely not the same. And it definitely can leave people still feeling very much alone. You know, a great way to not feel alone, and this is a sidebar here, is to let someone else know they are not alone. A simple letter, a simple phone call, and I encourage you, church, be the church. Be the hands and feet of Jesus. Allow the Spirit to speak into you and to speak through you into others' lives. We're going to be talking about this feeling, though, of aloneness. We're going to be talking about how in life, especially in this day and age, it's easy to feel alone, left in the dark, to be crushed with no hope. We're going to talk about this trap the enemy has set for you, for me, and every one of our brothers and sisters. A feeling that we can succumb to as we continue this journey of the journeys of discovering who God is by looking to God's Word. Seeing, in particular, who God the Spirit is, God in us, dwelling in us, and moving through us. Because when we receive such a gift of God being in us, moving in and through us, something becomes evidently clear in the life of the believer. And that is, we are never alone. And Satan can take that lie back where it belongs, in hell. Because we are never alone in Christ, for He has sent His Spirit to us, to adopt us as children of God. We began this discussion about the Holy Spirit last week, in particular talking about the nature, substance, and personhood of God. And this is key here for us to understand. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is not a thing. The Holy Spirit is a person. The personhood of God. The Holy Spirit is God's Spirit with us. God in us. The Holy Spirit is indeed God with us. Here's the good news. God is with us through His Spirit. As He was with Jesus. And God is with us as Jesus was with us through His Spirit. And in this, we truly are never alone. However, why then can it feel like we are alone if we're truly not alone? Some may be thinking, well, I believe in Jesus and all that, but it doesn't change the fact of how I feel. Most of the time, we can allow ourselves to become, once again, our own worst enemy and allow our feelings to hijack the promise that the gospel gives in our lives. And as today, as we begin to dig into this promise of the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, I hope we can all walk away from this exploration of God's Word we are going to be going on today, knowing that we are not alone. Knowing that no matter what we may feel on a certain time, doesn't change what Jesus did for us on the cross. It doesn't change a single thing. And yes, Jesus said He was going to leave us, as we discussed last week when Jesus was talking with His disciples. He said He was going to leave so that He could fulfill the promise that He had given to us, that He must ascend to the heavenly places to prepare a place for us in our Father's house. But just as much as Jesus said He had to leave, He also says this in John 14:18. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Now it is here where we must recognize something God says about us. God says we are orphans. Jesus Himself says this. He is not going to leave us as orphans. What's something that comes to mind when you think of orphans? You may think of this. And when you think of this, it's hard not to think, it's a hard knock life for us.
Oh, please stop.
It's a hard knock life.
Stop, please, stop.
I have been ordered to stop, and I'm going to honor and respect my mom, even though I know you all loved it's a hard knock life.
Don't make me hurt you.
I hear Obadiah crying upstairs. Maybe that wasn't as good as I thought. When you think of orphans, you may think of this, or you may think of this. Can I have some more, please? Or you may think of this. Nacho!
Well, that's even worse.
Or if you're like me, you may think of this. I'm Batman! I bet you didn't expect to hear that ever in a sermon. I digress, though. But I hope we can see something does come to mind when we think of orphans. In particular, a child that has no parents. That comes to mind when we think of orphans. However, this isn't what Jesus is speaking about. It's not what should come to mind when we hear him say, "I will not leave you as orphans." It's also not what came to mind when his brother James wrote this in James 1:27. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God, the Father, is this: to visit orphans and widows in their afflictions and to keep oneself unstained from the world. He isn't talking about orphans as we talk and think about them. He's thinking about something radically and completely different than what we think of when we consider orphans. Because what an orphan was then compared to what an orphan is now is completely different. You see, the ancient definition of orphan is not the same as the modern one. Our modern definition would pretty much compare to Annie, Oliver Twist, all the kids in the orphanage that Nacho Libre served in, and it would definitely include Batman. Yes, Batman. A parentless child. Now, I don't remember why Annie lost her parents, but she didn't have parents. I can't remember what was the cause of that.
They died.
They died?
They died, yeah.
Okay, I appreciate my movie
buff. They dropped
her
off because she was too, they were poor, too poor to keep her, but then I think they died.
Okay, well that's good to know. But the point is, in our modern culture, that is what we consider an orphan. In the ancient Roman Empire, a child who was considered an orphan was a child who lacked a father in their life. Of course, you could say, what about the lack of a mother? It's Mother's Day after all. We cannot forget a key cultural fact of this time period. They lived in a patriarchal society. It is not surprising, then, that the focus of the term orphan was related to the loss of a father. And even more clear why James says that this pure religion that is undefiled is one that takes care of orphans and widows. That he couples these two phrases together because an orphan was someone who had lost a father. And in this society, and in this time period, that was a huge deal. Men were the ones who would go out and learn a trade. They would go out and learn a trade, spend their life learning this trade, and do this trade to provide for their family. Whereas women in this time period would take care of the home, take care of the children. They would take care of those things in this patriarchal society. And there were certain instances where women would do the most extraordinary things. You know, we see in the Bible women being leaders of the church and being able to hold their own. But for the most part, to be a widow was to lose your source for income, to lose your source for security, to lose your source of peace, to be an orphan. To lose a father in this time period was to lose your inheritance. There wasn't going to be any other inheritance when you got older because you inherited what your father passed down to you. Women in the Roman Empire faced a difficult plight, and so do children when they've lost a husband or lost a father. And this is how times are so different now. Because back then, losing a father was like losing both parents today, which is why we still use the same term. To help us understand this, we're going to turn to Lamentations. Yes, Lamentations. And we're going to be going to chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 1 through 8 to understand that this idea of fatherlessness, this idea of being an orphan, which Jesus says we are orphans, and that he's not going to leave us as orphans, but he says, you're orphans. We are fatherless. And he says this in Lamentations. The writer, remember, O Lord, what has befallen us. Look and see our disgrace. Our inheritance has been turned over to strangers, our homes to foreigners. We have become orphans, fatherless. Our mothers are like widows. We must pay for the water we drink. The wood we get must be bought. Our pursuers are at our necks. We are weary. We are given no rest. We have given the hand to Egypt and to Assyria to get bread enough. Our fathers sinned and are no more, and we bear their iniquities. Slaves rule over us. There is none to deliver us from their hands. The biblical idea of being an orphan, of being fatherless, clearly speaks into this reality of aloneness, doom, and gloom. Much like our present understanding of orphans, being parentless does the same. It would be 600 years after the writing of the Bible where we would start using the term orphan to explain a parentless child. But for here, for these purposes of what we're looking at today, the term was to understand someone who was fatherless. Someone who was most in need. Which is why James says, orphans and widows, to take care of the orphans and widows and to meet them in their affliction, which was to join them where they were at and to engage them where they were at to provide care for the least of these, as Jesus would say. Now, there's something important that we can understand in all this. Who today in our world represents the orphans and the widows of then? Who is it that God has put in our life today that fit this category? How is it that God is speaking to you to begin caring for them? What are you going to do about it? To paraphrase, true religion that is pure and undefiled before God is to take care of the least of these. And to visit them in their affliction and care for them. Listen to the Lord. Who is it he's showing you in your life? Who is it he's calling you to care for today? What are you going to do about it? But back to our purpose today. We can clearly see we have a deep and desperate need for our Heavenly Father. Even when we still have an earthly father, there is still a great and desperate need for our heavenly father, an adoption into God's family, into God's kingdom. Because without this, we are indeed lost and aimless in our lives. And from dust we were made, and indeed to dust we shall return. However, adoption into God's family, into God's kingdom, means that we are so much more than dust. Because as Paul says, from Romans 8, we are children of God. And even more than this, if we're children, then we are heirs. Heirs to God and fellow heirs of Christ. In Christ, the Father has bestowed upon us through His Spirit the blessing upon blessings to be fellow heirs with Christ. In Christ and through the Spirit, we have a Heavenly Father who is good. We have a wonderful inheritance of His kingdom come, His will be done, and we have the hope of never being alone, left in the dark, or crushed by the weight of this world. All of this said to simply help us understand the reality of what Jesus means when He says He will not leave us as orphans, and how Paul says God has sent us His Spirit with a wonderful truth and promise of adoption into God's family, by becoming sons and daughters of God Almighty, who indeed is our Heavenly Father. Jesus lets His disciples know from our passage last week in John 14 and helps clarify for us even here, the necessity of this adoption to have the Spirit of God in our life. In verses 25 to 27, He reminds us, as He reminds His disciples, He's going to have to go away to do the things He promised and said He would do. However, He would not leave us as orphans, as John recollects for us in the verses saying, "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Peace. Freed from trouble. freed from fear, never again alone. Jesus says, peace I leave with you, and his peace he gives to you is not what the world gives. How is his peace any different than what the world can bring? What is it Jesus is giving us that the world cannot give to us? This peace is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, God in us. Now, regardless of whether you're an orphan then or an orphan now, the idea and hope of adoption truly brings peace and joy. And this idea of being adopted by God, whether we're physically considered an orphan or not, should bring us peace. Because no matter our physical, earthly existence, we are all orphans spiritually outside of Christ. And in this, we should find peace that surpasses all understanding. Adoption and peace go hand in hand. Because adoption means the changing of one's circumstances. Adoption also means the changing of one's complete existence. And that is what it means to be adopted into God's family. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us, comes in us with power, our entire life is radically changed and different. It can only mean this when it means to be adopted by God, that our very existence, our identity, will completely change. As Paul reminds us in Colossians 1, 21 through 22, when he talks about the work of Christ. And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Him being God our Father. We were once fatherless without hope, but in Christ and through the Spirit we have one Father who is above all, in all, and through all. And who is presently changing and molding us more and more into the wonderful, perfect image he created us to be as his children, to be bearers of his image, his likeness, to the whole of creation, and in this, to be co-workers, and as Paul would say, to be co-heirs to God's kingdom, and God's kingdom work here and now on earth as it is in heaven. We are given a steadfastness in this. We are given a hope in all of this because when we are adopted by God through his Spirit, he is setting his seal upon us and claiming us to be his own, as Paul explains in Ephesians 1:13. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. In this, in becoming a son or daughter, we are truly never alone. We are truly never without hope. We are truly never in a situation that cannot be overcome because of who our Heavenly Father is. Has anyone ever told you, or have you ever said to someone, my dad can beat up your dad? Well, I got news for you. My dad can beat up all your dads. Because my Father is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. My Father is the Lord of creation and holds stars in his hands. So yeah, our dad can beat up anyone's dad. I have no earthly father myself, but I have a heavenly Father who has adopted me and brought me into his family through the empowerment of his Spirit. He is always with me. I'm never alone. I'm never without hope. I'm never without the ability to find peace in the hardest of circumstances because he is indeed, as Psalm 68, 5 through 6 says, Father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. God settles the solitary in a home. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a parched land. Through God's Spirit, you have this promise of God indwelling with you always. And when we can remember that simple, profound truth, that you are a son and daughter of the King, and the King bends his ear to hear you when you speak, you must realize you are never alone. But I must ask again, have you ever felt alone? Here's the promise, hope, if you like me have. In Christ, you will never feel alone. And you have peace and security in Him through the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is God in us, making us children of the Most High King, our Heavenly Father, who is God above us. You may be asking and thinking, I want this peace. I want this security. I don't like feeling alone. I don't like not having hope. I believe in Jesus. I love Jesus. But there are times where I still feel all alone. I ask you to seriously look into your life. Take some time, close your eyes if you need to, and look into your life of faith and ask, who is empowering your life? Is it a feeling you have that makes you happy when times are not so sad? Is that what empowers your life? Or is it the very presence of God in your life? As is promised to us by Christ through the indwelling of His Spirit, does God's Spirit empower your life? When we live life off a feeling, it will be here one day and fleeting and gone the next. But when we live our life and are empowered by the God's Spirit and living in the reality of being a son and daughter of God Most High, there is nothing in heaven or on earth that can ever take that away from us. Sure, we will face hard times. There will be struggles. Life will still be hard. But we will know with certainty we are not alone. We are not without hope. And we have always a reason to have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We will always have reason to choose this over despair, hopelessness, and fear, because we are not alone and are empowered by God's Spirit to walk in faith, even in the hardest of times. Knowing we are not alone, we are not hopeless. Rather, we are sons and daughters of God the Father. You may have answered the question I asked just a little bit ago, saying you don't feel very empowered by God's Spirit, and you truly want the presence of God in your life in this powerful way that is promised to us through the Word. If that is you, do not let this day pass you by. Pray to God, as I will be and others will be praying with you, to send the Comforter, the Counselor, the Great Helper into your life, and to show you that you are His, and as you abide in Him, He will abide in you with power from on high. He has made you His son or His daughter, and there is nothing in heaven or on earth that will ever change this fact. He is your Heavenly Father, and through His Spirit, that's a permanent done deal. Let us pray now, as we conclude, for this very sending of Jesus' promised of the Holy Spirit right here, right now, into the lives of those who do feel lost, who do feel alone, that through their faith in Jesus, they would experience the wonderful promise of being sons and daughters through the empowerment of the adoption of God's Spirit. Gracious Father, Your rule and reign in our lives. Lord, I pray right now for those who have not experienced the touch of Your Spirit, that You would send Your Spirit in power. Send it in power, God, upon them. Fill their lives with this great promise You've bestowed upon us. Let them know they are not alone. They are not without hope. that they are not in a position of defeat, but they are in you, and Lord, you are victorious, and there is nothing in this world that will ever change that. There is nothing in all of heaven and earth that will ever change that you are victorious. And God, I pray in that victory that people would experience it in a most powerful way through your Spirit. Help them be comforted. Help them be cared for, Lord. Help them know that you are the great provider and that you are walking with them, that you see their needs. And you are answering their prayers every day. Help them to feel your presence more now than ever before. Send your Spirit with fire. Lord, send it and awaken our hearts. Awaken our hearts to the hope there is in you. Because, Lord, we know as the grass withers and the flowers fade, your word, Lord, your word, your promises of the Holy Spirit remains forever. Amen and amen.